Hello, this is Pete Beck III with ThirdPeter.com. Welcome to today's podcast, which is entitled Wipeout: How to Survive Life's Four Big Tests. This is part one, idolatry. There are four big tests that most of us will encounter on our discipleship journey. Each will reveal some aspect of the condition of our hearts and our devotion to God. Of course, God already knows what we're like and how we will react. But for us, it is often a shocking revelation. How we handle these tests will determine to a great extent how greatly we will glorify God and how useful we can be in His kingdom service. Failing them can greatly harm us. This series of articles gives some tips on how to recognize these critical tests and how to experience Christ's victory. In his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul warns us that what happened to Israel in the wilderness serves as an example or warning to us to help us avoid a similar outcome of being, quote, overthrown in the wilderness, end of quote. Please take a moment to read this section, and it's in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. Most of the Jews who escaped the oppression of Egyptian slavery did not make it into the promised land. They never received what God had prepared for them. Instead, they died in the wilderness under God's judgment for the sins of rebellion and unbelief. According to Jesus, life is a narrow path filled with tests and difficulties. And I read from Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. English Standard Version. We have a spiritual enemy who tries to harm us along the way. God wants us to pass each test by being wise to Satan's wiles and by relying on his faithfulness and grace. Test number one, idolatry, overcoming the Egypt in us. After escaping Egypt through God's judgment upon that nation and its idolatry, and after miraculously crossing the Red Sea, the Jews almost immediately fell into their own sin of idolatry. Seeing a miracle and being set free does not mean we are serious about following God yet. There was still a lot of Egypt in the Israelites, and perhaps in us. They did not really understand God's ways yet, and were not converted in their hearts. And as a result, they quickly doubted God's faithfulness and love and caved to their sinful desires. So I'm going to read Exodus 32, 3 through 10, which is an account of what happened. So all the people took off their rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, for your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people. Behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you. That's from the English Standard Version. The Israelites grew impatient with Moses' foray up Mount Sinai, and fearing that he had died, they pressured Aaron to mold an idol for them to worship, a golden calf. Then they threw a big party, casting off the restraint of living under God's authority. As part of their deliverance from bondage, God brought them into a place of scarcity and testing, but they preferred a party. They disowned God and renounced his kingship over them, which is the essence of sin. Idolatry is always about who is in charge. We like to create gods who will allow us to do whatever we want. We do not like being in a place of uncertainty in which we must fully trust God's character, power, and faithfulness on a continual basis. We prefer to relax, party, and enjoy a sense of security, even if it's based on a lie. There is only one place of freedom and complete security, God's will. Sadly, however, we often are willing to trade our freedom for a false sense of security. Sin always leads to bondage and fear. We may not bow down to a golden calf, but we have plenty of other gods which encourage us to pursue a rebellious independence from the true God: money, sex, addictions, godless recreation, etc. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear." New Living Translation. If we are growing weary or impatient with God and the path he has for us, if we have become fearful that he will not protect and provide for us, or if we have been tempted to cast off restraint and give way to temptation, we should take heed and make a commitment to fully trust God, no matter what the personal cost to us. Idolatry is the first of the big four wipeout tests. Abandoning God will never get us where we really want to go, and it always brings destruction and judgment into our lives. Hang in there. Keep trusting and obeying. God is faithful and will keep his promises. We pass the first big test by being steadfastly devoted to Christ and patient on the journey. Hebrews 10:35-36 reads, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance," or patience, "so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." English Standard Version. Perhaps you would want to say this prayer: "Father God, please forgive me for serving other gods." And if you can name any that come to mind, please do. "I reconsecrate myself to you and ask you to help me to love and serve you with a whole heart." Amen. Well, thank you for listening, and I hope this article has blessed you, and may the Lord continue to guide you and keep you along the way. Amen.